Welcome. Thank you for joining me. I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to a message in a series called Living Free. This is part two, and we are specifically today going to look at what does the Bible say about living free from sin. You're going to want to hear this, so let's get right to it. All right, when we talk about living free, our key verse that we've been looking at for this series is John chapter 8, 31 to 36. And I'm not going to read it all, but the first verse says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's Jesus talking, and he goes on to discuss with them. And in verse 36, he says, "If the Son makes you free, you really will be free." Or as another version says, "You will be free indeed." So we see from Scripture that Christ came to bring freedom. Freedom is something that we all desire. Freedom is something that people have fought and died for. Freedom is something that people yearn for. And freedom can be ours according to Scripture. Well, what is freedom? When we look through the Bible, we see the words, and we can go back and look at the originals. And for me, I just went to the Strong's Bible Dictionary, and here is what they say freedom is. It's to be free, released, liberated from various kinds of ownership, confinement and distress, such as prison confinement, political domination or oppression, physical sickness, release from a contract, God's release of the sinner from sin, or the opposite of a slave. Galatians 5 verse 1 has this to say. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Did you catch that? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ came to bring freedom that begins on the inside and works to the outside. It is a freedom that cannot be taken or shaken. It is true freedom, and Christ came to bring it. So in our last message in freedom number one, we looked kind of an overview at a number of different areas where we can be free. And today I just want to look specifically at that first area, and it's living free from sin. John 8 to 34 to 36 says this: "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but who the Son sets free is free indeed." Christ truly wants people to be free from sin. Sin has bondage, sin has wages, as it says. And the wages of sin is death. So we want to know, okay, what does Christ mean when he says we can be free from sin? So if we're going to look at that, we first need to look at, well, what is sin? What is the definition of sin? Is it something we just made up? Are we just coming up with our own rules or ideas? What is sin? Okay, here's a really simple definition of sin. It is simply wrongdoing. Any act contrary to the will and law of God. All right, so sin is not something we make up or change with time or with our ideas, but it is something that is based on the God who created the heavens and the earth. It is something that remains constant and sure. It is something that won't be confusing or different tomorrow than it is today. In other words, the rules of the game don't change. If you've ever played any kind of sport with some younger kids, possibly, maybe soccer, and you know, as you're playing, if they're losing, they change the rules. Suddenly their goal becomes really small. You know, they have the shoe on each side, pretty soon the shoe is only 3 feet apart. The rules change as the game goes. But with God, the rules don't change as the game goes. It's not confusing. He doesn't say one thing today and change it tomorrow. He said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." And that's a good thing. So Christ came, and it says that he wants us to be free from sin. So we see that sin simply is any act contrary to the will or the law of God. So what is sin? Here's a couple verses that talk about what sin is. 1 John 3:4-9 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Talking about Christ. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he's righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And we'll look at that later. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Now, there's a lot in that scripture. We could preach an entire message simply from there. But today, I'm just looking at, and in this portion of our message, what is sin? And as you read in the beginning, it said that sin is lawlessness. Okay? In other words, against or opposing to God's laws that he sets. Matthew 7:21-23 says this about what is sin. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and did many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, once again, a whole message can be preached on this text itself. But as we look at it, we see a little bit of a glimpse of, well, what is sin? And again, sin was called lawlessness, or against God's laws, or against God's will. As we read in the first verse of this text today, it said, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So doing the Father's will is the opposite of sin. So not doing the Father's will is sin. And then again finishes with lawlessness. Just quickly, as you notice, the verse said, just doing wonderful things in his name does not mean you are free from sin. Just figuring out how to do something good or something that would please God isn't going to get you free from sin. That's a topic, again, for another whole message. However, God makes a way for us to be free from sin. John 8:1-11 tells us a story of a woman who was caught in the act of sin. And in this story, Jesus is teaching the people, and as he's teaching, a group of religious men bring in a woman, and they throw her down at Jesus' feet. And they look at him, and they say, she was caught in the act of adultery. Moses' law says she should be stoned. They looked at Jesus and said, what do you say? Now, they wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to get the people to not like Jesus. They wanted to stir things up because they knew Jesus preached love and forgiveness, and here they were going to try and trap him. And it said that at first Jesus didn't even answer them. He just wrote in the sand. And they pressed him some more. Come on, what would you do, Jesus? And he wrote in the sand some more. Now, the interesting thing about the story here was the act of sin that she was caught in required two people. Where was the other person? Where was the man in the situation? But here she is at the mercy of these religious people, and the old law under Moses not the law of salvation or grace, but this old law said that if you did this sin, you should be stoned. And stoning was an ugly thing. Everybody around would pick up a rock and begin to throw it and continue to throw it. And someone who was stoned would be broken, bruised, knocked out, and eventually killed. A painful way to go. And Jesus, finally, after writing in the sand for quite some time, looks up and he says, any of you who have never sinned, go ahead, throw the first stone. And then he wrote in the sand. We don't know what he was writing in the sand, but many people have thought, do you think maybe he was writing their sin? Maybe. But it said each of them began to go away as their own conscience. They realized they'd messed up in the past. They'd sinned. They left. And when Jesus finally looked up, there was nobody there accusing the woman. And he looked at the woman and he said, there's no one here condemning you. I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. Jesus let her go free, and he spoke the words, go sin no more. He made it possible for her to be free and no longer sin. You see, Jesus was sent to this earth, we read in John 3, 16 and 17, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. He didn't come to bring judgment. He didn't come to destroy, but to save. He came to set people free. And one of those freedoms he wanted to bring was for people to be free from sin and its consequences. Because the consequences of sin are great. The wages of sin take time to come in, but they're terrible when they do. So Christ truly wants people free. So when we look at this topic of being set free from sin, we understand what sin is. Well, we need to ask the question, who then is affected by sin? Because maybe you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, that has nothing to do with me. I don't agree with you, so to me it's not sin. Who is affected by sin? According to Scripture, Romans 5 and verse 12, and I can tell you now the answer is everyone is affected by sin. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed on all people. That one man, of course, was Adam and Eve in the garden together, disobeyed God's only rule in the garden, which was don't eat from this tree in the center of the garden. They chose to disobey God's law, his only law at that time. They brought sin in, and sin passed unto all people. So sin affects everybody. Genesis 2, 15 and 18, verse 21 and 25, chapter 3, 1 to 9. You can read that story if you want about the initial sin and how it passed to everybody. Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody good enough on their own, is what this is saying. Romans 3, 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5, 12 says, all have sinned. So, who's affected by sin? Everybody. You, me, everybody is affected by sin, but Christ wants to set us free from sin and its consequences. So how do we live free from sin and its consequences? First of all, in order to live free from sin and its consequences, we're going to need to know the truth. Remember in our original verse, it says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says this, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. They're talking about Jesus. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 2 and 24 It says he carried in his own body on the cross the sins we committed. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, having nothing to do with sin. By his wounds, you were healed. In Romans 6, verse 6 to 16, this is a larger portion of scripture, but I want to read as much of it as I can today to you. And I want you to follow along if you can. Romans 6, verse 16, how do we live free from sin and its consequences? First, we know the truth, and here is some truth. Verse 6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we'll also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and we will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. That's a powerful verse. Christ died once to break the power of sin. Here's a truth that you need to understand so that you can be free from sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desire. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Christ changes who your master is. Sin is no longer your slave driver. We need to know the truth, and then we need to act on the truth. We realize as we look at scripture, the truth is Christ came, died on a cross to pay the price for sin for you and I. Now we need to act on that truth. What does it say for that truth to become real to us? What does it say? Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Once you realize the truth of what Christ has done, you simply need to receive it for yourself. That begins with repentance, which means I understand what I'm doing doesn't please God. I want to turn from it. That's called repentance, turning from it. But in order to turn from it, we need to first understand it doesn't please him. And interestingly enough, most people I talk to know when what they're doing doesn't please God. Even without having a knowledge of scripture, they know. Something deep inside tells them. Something from creation makes it known to people, this isn't going to please God. Often people say, I don't care. Colossians 1:13-14, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When we say, I know this is not right, we come to Christ, we bring it to him, we can know that he will forgive us of all our past sin, are all our past wrongs. So we understand he is the answer. We understand we can come to him and ask for forgiveness. Romans 10:9-10 very clearly tells us all we need to do to receive and accept what Christ has done to bring us this freedom. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Christ, paying the price, shedding his blood, the painful act of a crucifixion, he was sinless, but he paid the price for you and I that we could be free. That sin would not pull us along by the nose and have us do whatever it chooses. but that we would be broken free from that and we would follow Christ with all of our heart, with all of our mind. Sin does not have power over the power or the sacrifice that Christ made. Finally, I want to say this about being free from sin. We understand Christ paid the price for it. We come to a realization, you know, what I'm doing doesn't please God and I don't want it. We go to God and we simply ask and receive what he's done. He forgives and he brings freedom. And for you and I, then there's just one more thing that he asks us to do while we're here on this earth. If you call yourself a Christian, if you've asked him to come into your life, then he says, obey my word. Let me read a verse to you, John 8, 31 to 36. And you will recognize this because it is our key scripture. Obedience, walking in obedience, allows you to continue to walk free from sin. This is not confusing or tricky. This is God's word. I'm going to read it again, even though we read it to start, but I'm going to read the entire portion, 31 to 36 of John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we'll become free? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Christ wants to set you free. Listen, as we finish up today, if you've never asked Christ to come into your life and forgive your sins, you need to do that. You need to give him that opportunity. It's as simple as just speaking it with your mouth. And I want to lead you in a short prayer that allows you to speak what you're starting to feel in your heart. Even if you don't completely understand it, but you're saying, you know what? I want that forgiveness of sin. I want to be free from sin. Just pray that with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use me. I thank you. I am saved. If you prayed that today and you meant it, you have been forgiven. You have been set free. You are now beginning a journey where you can walk in freedom with Christ. He will let you know what your purpose is, what your life destiny is if you don't know it, and he'll give you steps so that you can follow in obedience, living free. I want to speak to those of you who are also watching this, and you're saying, you know what? I tried church before. I prayed that prayer before. I asked God to help me. There's no use. I'm just in bondage. Maybe you're even someone who serves God, but you know there's bondage. You know there's not a freedom, and you come to the point where you thought, well, there's no hope. Maybe the Bible's not right in my case. The Bible's right in every case, and you can be free. Scripture tells us that we can declare freedom, and I'm going to go into that in a future message, but we have the power and authority through Christ to declare freedom and to command bondage to be broken off. I'm going to quickly do that as we finish out. So right now, if you are struggling not being free from sin in any area, right now, I rebuke the sin. I command it to be broken, to loose its hold from you in Jesus' name. I speak freedom. I say, come out in Jesus' name. Freedom is yours. Even now, if you can picture with me in your mind the handcuffs being broken, Christ came to set you free. Right now, you can walk in that. Get into his word, get to know his truth even more, begin to follow and obey what he's doing. Focus on where he wants you to go, not where you've been. Focus on the thing he would have you to do, not the wrong you've done. And I'll tell you this, where you look is where you will go. If you've ever learned to drive a vehicle, they will tell you, race car drivers will tell you this, where you look is where your vehicle will go. Can I tell you this? Where you look is where your life will go. Are you spending your time looking at sin? Your life will go there. Are you spending your time looking at depression? Your life will go there. Why not spend your time looking at Christ and what he said? His future for you is awesome. God loves you. We love you. And I just want to say thank you again for joining us. Go ahead and subscribe to these videos. Like, share them with others if you believe they can make a difference. Again, God loves you more than you can imagine. We'll see you next time.